Corito, I know this is a very, very special morning for you. I know it because I've been living with you for the last 2 years. But for the people here that don't know you, I want to ask you, why is this such a special morning?
That is a very good question. This is a very, very special morning for me. I mean, imagine, Monty, almost 24 years ago, I was born in this awesome town. I had the privilege of going to college here, and I can identify with so many people here sitting before us today. So to be able to come back as a missionary and to speak in this town is something really almost indescribable. It's also really special because I know that this church makes a lot of sacrifices to support us so that we can do what we do. And I know that often the church doesn't even understand the impact that they are having worldwide through this ministry, through our lives. So to be able to come here today and just to be able to share a little bit of that is something very, very special for me. But Gordita, now you've asked me a question. Let me ask you a question. You know that this year's been pretty powerful, pretty crazy for us both. We've had a lot of highs, a lot of lows. We've made a lot of experiences. When you look back at this year, if you could boil it down to one thing, what would you say is a highlight from last year?
Well, that's pretty hard to just say one thing. I think I'm going to mention a couple of things. Obviously, as a woman and now soon to be mom, I have to say this. One of the highlights this year was to find out that I was pregnant. So that was probably in my woman heart the best highlight for this year. But if I look back in the ministry and what we've been doing in Germany, I think I have a couple of things. In January, we had the opportunity to go to Argentina. Argentina is the best soccer team group country. So that's, we had the opportunity there to be in a youth conference, mission youth conference we do with Movida. We took a team of 11 people there and we're serving in the youth conference. It's the structure of the youth conference is a week of training where we disciple the young people. We give them workshops, tools, just to go out into the mission field. And after that week, and this is what makes this youth conference so special, they have the opportunity to go into a missions trip between 2 and 4 weeks just to feel and get a feeling what it is like to be in the mission field. So that was really, really special. We went there, like I said, with a group of Americans. Josh Kuhn, maybe some of you know him. He was there and God really touched his heart during one of the nights there. And that's where he decided to go to Costa Rica for a year to use his life and invest his life into missions for that year. And he's actually there right now helping with the youth conference we're doing in Costa Rica. We're doing these youth conferences in 8 different countries in South America. So that was a very special thing. And then the other thing that I look back to with a big smile on my face is our Costa Rica missions trip that we took in June. Danielle Johnson was with us there. It was really, really nice for me to be able to share with her and talking about the Johnsons. I see the whole family there together. Thank you so much, Christy, for having us at your house last night. This morning I woke up and I thought, wow, this is like a hotel, a comfy bed. I woke up, beautiful scenery. And then I go into the kitchen and breakfast is served. I thought, I could get used to this. So... thank you very, very much, Christy. And Dave is not here, but say thanks for us. So that was 2 weeks in Costa Rica where we did, you can see a picture there, a lot of practical work, helping the church, building stuff. We fixed the roof for them. And then we also visited a lot of schools and spent time with the kids there. It was really, really special to see the light in their eyes when we came and we shared with them the gospel of Jesus. So that was super, super powerful. But Gordito, what about you? I mean, what is your highlight of 2014?
Highlight. I think I'm kind of like you. I don't think I can just pick one thing because there's been so many awesome things that have happened. I remember at about a year and a half ago, I came back and was able to share in this church, and I spoke about a book that we were in the middle of translating, and that's this book here. I'm proud to say that we actually accomplished the work of translating this book. And as we were translating, you know that I was so excited about it. I mean, think about it. This book here has a daily devotional that you can read. You can be challenged in your faith. And at the bottom, there's a prayer request for an unreached people group. So that is just my heart right there, to be able to pray for people groups that have not yet heard of the gospel of Jesus. So with this passion, you remember too well, I went to the biggest conference in Germany. It's all of Europe. There's 3,000 young people there. And I said, hey, guys, you need to have this book at the conference. They said, well, you know, sounds good, but we're not so convinced about it. And I continued to go back and say, hey, you can't have a conference without allowing people to pray for world missions when they go home. And after a lot of conversations, they decided, yeah, well, maybe that is an important part that we need to consider. So they actually bought this book, and they gave it out to every single participant, over 3,000 people, and these people took this book into all of Europe and also to Africa, and now people are praying for world missions through this book all over the world. And now, today, you guys have an awesome opportunity. Does anyone know this book? Can I get a show of hands? There's a few. But for those who don't have it, I want to know, how have you been praying for world missions? Because this book can be a tool of mobilization for you. Today, we've brought a bunch of books with. You can take it home with you. We've already distributed over 30,000 copies in the German-speaking world. We have this book in 4 different languages. And just imagine, when so many people would pray for world missions, for these unreached people groups, every day, I am convinced to the core that Jesus is going to do something. So please, 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 take this book home with you today. Some people like to give a donation just so we can cover printing costs. If you want to do that, we're really thankful. But that's not the most important thing. What's the most important is that you take this home and that you pray for these groups that have never heard about the love of Jesus. Another highlight from last year was our SEMA conference. You can see a picture here. We actually do these conferences, what Monty was talking about, in South America, and I was so convinced of it, I said, we got to do this in Germany too. We've got to be teaching, we've got to be mobilizing people so they can serve in the local church in world missions. And I said, hey, let's do it. Let's rent a conference hall. Let's get this done. And I would say maybe I was a little too excited at first. I wasn't fully aware of how difficult it is to mobilize Germans to actually come to a Christian conference. So that was very challenging. We had rented this hall. We had spent $3,000 because we had to rent it before. And I thought, you know, 100 people, they would show up pretty easy. Yeah, well, I learned very quick that is not the reality. So we prayed and we talked with people and we invited. And months went by and we kept thinking, wow, what are we going to have to do? We've already rented this hall and no one's signing up. But as we continued to pray, as we continued to talk with people, God started giving us people who wanted to come with to the conference. They started to register. And at the end, we had over 100 people from South America, from Europe, who came to this 1 week of training and then went on practical missions trips. And it was really an unforgettable experience. So that's just a testimony to God's faithfulness through this time. Another big highlight was our tour. We were in 40 different churches in 5 weeks. So that meant every night we were preaching God's word in a church in Europe. And one of the highlights, I could speak of lots of highlights from this trip, is we went to East Germany. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Second World War and how Germany was split up after the Second World War, but East Germany was actually the communistic side of Germany. And there's a lot of different statistics, but the agreed upon number is about 1% of the population is born again Christians. Can you believe that? If you would meet 100 people in the streets, one of those people would be a born-again Christian. And we had the opportunity to speak in a church that was over 700 years old. Martin Luther had preached in that church over 7 times, and we were able to have an evangelistical evening there and to preach God's word. So to take back such an important to take back God's word to such an important part of our Christian faith was really just something special for me. But, Gerdita, after all that we've experienced in Germany, you know, the frustrations, the patience that you had to have with me in learning German, the difficult first nights that we experienced together, after all of that, you've agreed to go with me now to a whole new context. You've agreed to go with me to South America, to Chile. Although you're pregnant, although I've never been there, you've said, hey, let's do it. And tomorrow we're actually going to board our plane and go there. Can I ask you, why would you do something so crazy?
Well, if I've learned something in my short 25 years of living, it is that the best place to be is wherever God wants me to be. So I know, and I have a deep joy and peace in my heart, that even though I know it's going to be hard, I know we're going to face challenges, I know it's going to be maybe not the easiest, I know that's exactly where God wants us to be. So that gives me the strength to keep going, even though I am pregnant. So that's probably my faith and just the thing that I hold on to when I think about the challenges. But also just seeing South America, you know, the potential that it has. We often think, okay, South America is a third world country, continent, they don't really can give anything, but they have so much passion, so much desire to serve God. They're just standing ready, wanting to be called to the missions. So we want to set that potential free. We want to teach them, disciple them, just give them the tools so that they can go out and see, hey, maybe we are needed in other parts of the world. Europe used to be a continent that sent missionaries out into the world, and now it's become a continent that they need missionaries back to bring the fire, to bring the passion back that they lost somehow in the way. So that's what we want to offer them. And just seeing that potential and seeing what they are capable of just makes me want to think, I just want to invest my whole life in this. Too bad I just have one, because I would use it all over again just so that I could motivate these young people to go out and share the good news with the world. But Gorito, after hearing all of this, I look around at the faces and I'm thinking, these people want to ask something, but since they're sitting and I'm up here, I'm just going to ask for them, because I feel like I know what they want to ask. They probably want to know how they can get involved.
I thought I saw that question mark too. That's a great question. Well, I think the first thing that needs to be said is you can pray. I talked about the Explore book. You can pray for unreached people groups. You can also pray personally for us. We know that there's so much value in taking time to pray for one another, to stand beside one another, in that we love praying for you. We take time every Sunday to pray for this church, and we hope that you would also take time to pray for us. That means that you could take home our newsletter. There's actual up-to-date prayer requests. We send this out also during the year, that you could fill out this little card and you could receive our update letter so you could know, hey, how can I pray more effectively for these two? So that would be a huge help for us. You could also go. I know that there's a lot of young people here today, and you're saying, what do I want to do with my summer? My parents probably want me to go work, but I really want to go serve. And I say, hey, you have the great opportunity today, because we have different missions trips that we'll be offering this summer to Costa Rica, to Peru, also to Chile, and that's an opportunity for you guys. So you can take home this little flyer. There's more information inside. We would love to see you guys also get involved in world missions, to serve practically, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And the next is you could give. As missionaries, we are dependent on support like from this wonderful church. And if God would lay that on your heart, if you would like to partner with us financially, we would be so, so thankful for that. I tell you all the time, Monty, I'm always amazed that with how little, God can do so much. And if that wasn't true, I really could not believe how Jesus fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. I really believe that from the bottom of my heart. With just $20, $30, $50 a month, God can do so, so much. And I consider it a privilege to be able to invest in a place in God's kingdom where rust does not destroy the kingdom of God. So there's information also at the back table. If you have any questions about that, you're more than welcome to come and talk with us. But Gordita, I know that you don't like standing too much, so I'm going to let you go sit down, and then I'm going to take it away with the message for today. If you would just bow with me and pray, and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the people who are so faithful in coming here every week, who are there also for the people who have come here today for the first time. I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes today to the power of your word, that you would speak to our hearts, and that you would change us deep within our character. Father, we cannot do that on our own. We're so dependent on you. And I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. 2014 will undoubtedly go down as an unforgettable year. In the past year, I've traveled enough miles to have circled the globe 3 times. I've flown in 26 different airplanes, driven over 30,000 miles, slept more times outside of my apartment than inside of it, visited 13 different countries, preached in 60 different churches, and engaged in literally thousands of personal conversations. You could say the past year has been a mixture of ups and downs, late nights and interstates, frustrations and overwhelming joy. Questions being asked and questions being answered. Seeds being sown and patience being practiced. My life in 2014 could be summed up by a number of statistics, but it could also be summed up much, much simpler. Would you believe me if I told you I could sum up all of the year 2014 with one Bible passage? Would you believe me if I took it a step farther and said I could sum up all the year 2014 with one simple word? A word that today could literally turn your life upside down. A word that could change the way you see the world. That could change the way you see our God. And could change the way you see your life. A word with one simple syllable. Come. Matthew 14, 22-31 is a Bible passage that has been cooking in my heart throughout the year 2014. And this morning, I want to unpack just a little bit of the remarkable biblical truth that we can find in this life-changing passage. When you have a Bible with you this morning, feel free to turn to Matthew 14, verse 22-31. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" Can you imagine? Here's the disciples. It's the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, they see a figure. They see a person walking to them. I don't blame them for being a little scared and thinking, that is a ghost coming at me right now. But then Jesus comes in typical Jesus fashion, says, "Hey guys, just calm down. It's me. It's okay. Don't worry." And in the next line of this passage, we see one of the most profound actions in history. Peter responds by doing what every healthy disciple of Christ should do. He is hungry to take a step of faith. In verse 28, we see Peter wisely ask, "Lord, if it is you, call me." He asks for a calling. Do you notice that Peter just doesn't throw caution to the wind? He doesn't just say, "Hey, let's go, forget all my responsibilities, I'm going to start swimming to Jesus." Peter knows that with one calling, with one word from the Lord Jesus, his life and history could be transformed and changed forever. Peter knew that with just one word, the impossible could become possible. So he asks, and Jesus says, "Come." This is a truth that we cannot overlook. Maybe you say, "You know, Scott, I must have missed that article this summer about the group of Christians walking across the swimming pool." And that's not necessarily the truth that I'm talking about here. There's a truth here that transcends time. And that truth that's being presented here is that with this one word, with one calling from the God Most High, the impossible becomes possible. I think of Genesis, when God said, let there be light, and there was light. I think of the valley of dry bones, when God speaks to the prophet and says, speak to the bones, and the bones came to life. With one word, with one calling from Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. And in that context today, I want to ask you a personal question. Today, on December 7th, what is God calling you to? Where is the Lord Jesus calling you to step out of the water and trust? I'm convinced that today, Jesus is looking for people who are willing to take a step of faith and to show the world that He is God, to show the world of His grace, of His love, so that every nation on the world can know that He is the God of eternity. I'm convinced that He's looking for people who are passionate, people who are loving, people who are courageous, people who are humble, who are willing to go new paths, to reach new horizons, to conquer new challenges. Today, make the decision not to be the one who only thinks or dreams, but be the one who's ready to go. Be the one who's ready to make a sacrifice and to respond to the calling of the God of the universe. Today, I want to let you in on a small secret that I learned during the past 4 years of living in Europe. It's a lesson that's not easy, it's not comfortable, but it's very, very simple. Are you ready for it? To walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. Now I'm sure you're thinking, wow, Scott, you really learned a lot in those last 4 years, and the Lord Jesus is speaking to you so clearly. But do you understand what that means? To fulfill the calling God has placed on your life means you have to trust in Him. Means you have to be willing to go through storms. Meaning you have to be willing to take risks. This morning, I want to suggest 5 different boats that are holding us captive and hindering us from experiencing the true life that Christ longs for us to experience. The first boat that holds us captive, that hinders us from reaching what Christ desires us to reach, to take a step of faith, to show the world of His goodness. The first boat is the boat of comfort. The boat of just being satisfied. Oh, we love this boat. It's a boat that's so often applauded by other Christians or members of the church that says, hey, yeah, you deserve that. Just enjoy your life. If you don't like it, just don't do it. For many of us, it's even the boat that we spend our whole lives trying to create, working with the goal of buying new useless toys to feed our addiction of comfort, studying just with the goal of getting a good job to make more money, to have more comforts. Working, attempting to fill a void in our hearts that can only truly be filled with a passionate relationship with the Lord Jesus. The boat of comfort can be deceiving. Yes, it is true that God may give you times of comfort. He may give you times of stillness. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. But those times will be an exception and not the rule. I could not be more convinced. I see it daily. Comfort is killing the passion in our church. Even in my young years, I can say with an authority, the boat of comfort has destroyed the passion of so many young people and kept them from fulfilling the calling God has placed on their life. When our focus is only on attempting to have a life of comfort, we quickly slip into the people who just say, well, we've always done it this way. I always sit here on Sunday. Why are they in my seat right now? But God wants to create new. His grace is new every morning. He wants to move in your life. He wants to bring you forward so that through you, He can show the world that He is God, that His grace is for everyone. The second boat that's keeping us captive is the boat of fear. This is the boat that says, I just don't know if I can do it. I'm not sure. It seems pretty new. What if I fail? And surely here this morning at Ridgeview Bible Church, there's only fearless and passionate followers of Jesus. But just on the off chance, there's one brother or sister who say, hey, this is my boat. Then God wants to say to you today, I want to destroy this boat. It's a boat that I personally know all too well. It's a bolt that I fight with and say, well, what if there's complications? What if I don't express myself right? What if they don't like me? What if I say it wrong? But did you catch what happened in this story? Peter took a step of faith. He risked his reputation. He got out onto the water only to fail. Or did he? We see in verse 31, the great teacher, Jesus, responded to him as he began sinking. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why do you doubt? A bold answer, a bold response. Not a sharp answer with the goal of demotivating Peter, but an answer of love. An answer of calling Peter back out of the water and into a walk of faith. Today, God wants to destroy your boat of fear. He wants to use you to speak with His strength. He wants to use you to love with His love and to forgive with His forgiveness. But the question is, are you willing to step out of the boat of fear? The third boat that holds us captive is the boat of sin. Today, billions around the world are being held captive to the sin in their life. Sin can entangle you and keep you from reaching these new horizons that God desires to reach with you so that the world may know of His amazing character. Sin is so ugly, so demotivating, that it can leave you tired and beat up and with absolutely no desire to go forward. But grace is the first word in Jesus' vocabulary. Today, He wants to forgive you. Today, He wants to give you strength to break addictions. He wants to renew your mind and form you into His likeness. Today, He wants to use His grace to wash over your sins and give you the freedom and motivation you need to leave this captivating boat. But do you believe it? Today, will you step out of the boat of sin and out of addictions and onto the waters of grace? It's a boat that we think we recognize, but it can creep in ever so softly. A boat that attempts to convince you that to live as Christ requires you to live through your own strength, through your own self-produced motivation. It's a boat that leaves you serving day after day with the strength and motivation you try to produce yourself. It's a boat that can bring you to church, that can bring you to Christian events as a ritual instead out of a flowing, passionate relationship and a love for Jesus. It's a boat that can leave you in the gray, mundane flow of life as you try to achieve something that is unattainable on your own strength. But God wants to destroy this boat as well. He wants to show you that His favorite color is colorful. He wants to show you that He has never changed. Genesis 1:1, God created. Have you understood what that means? That means God was creative, God is creative, and God will be creative. No religious duty will ever replace a vibrant, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Will you step out of the boat of religion and into a vibrant relationship with the God Most High to take this step of faith and to show the world of His goodness? Boat number 5, the devil's lies. This is the boat that says, I don't have the strength. I just don't have the money. I don't have the education or the right personality. But it's a biblical truth I can tell you with complete confidence. When God calls you to something, He will give you the strength and the materials needed to complete it. Because when God calls, when He speaks, the impossible becomes possible. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell when we begin to think, is it really possible? Is God's heart really good? Is He really who He says He is? But just like Peter, when God calls you, we will go through storms. It's a biblical truth. From the point in which we're called to the point in which the promise or the calling is fulfilled, we will go through a time of trials. Just as Peter, he steps out into the water, he sees the storm, he experiences trials, he experiences hardships. I think of Noah. God spoke to Noah. God placed a calling on Noah's life. He said, build an ark. It's going to rain. So Noah started building. Can you imagine what the people must have said to Noah during that time? You fool, why are you building? It's not even raining. Is God's heart really what He says it is? Is his calling really what he said it was? But Noah was faithful. He continued to move forward in faith, although it was not seen the end result. And then the world knew God is who he says he was. The Israelites, they were called to walk around Jericho and the walls would crumble down. Can you imagine how stupid they had to have felt? I mean, that's never been heard of. Walls just crumbling down after walking around them? That can't be. But in faith, they were obedient. They walked. In faith, they went forward, although it had never been done, although it had never been seen. And they continued to go, and God was faithful. And it resulted in showing the world to this day that God is still the God who he says he is. Daily, I fight with the battle to step out of the boat of the devil's lies and to walk in faith, knowing that his strength is enough to carry me through. I can tell you from the bottom of my heart that God's ways are perfect. His truth is time-tested. When I think of this SEMA Germany that we had, when I think of Explore, all I can say is we didn't have all the resources to begin with. We didn't know how it was going to end. But I know that God was there. I know that God, for you as well, is ready to carry you through, is ready to use you so that the world may see his eternal glory. But the question is, are you willing to step out of the boat of lies and to walk with the Lord Jesus in faith, on the water? Today, what boat does God want to call you out of? It won't be easy. You may want to give up. It could be that today, you're already walking on the water and looking back and thinking, you know, that boat actually doesn't look too bad after all. But stay strong. A life of commitment to Jesus is marked with trials, patience, hard work, and perseverance. A life with Jesus is marked with failures and learning experiences. But God in his grace is right next to you. He's ready to call you out when you begin to sink. Christopher Columbus knew a secret. To discover new land, you have to be willing to leave the safety of the coast. Today, God is willing. He is ready to give you strength. He's ready to give you courage. He's ready to give you motivation, ready to give you ability. I wonder if you fought back to just what those voices inside of the boat must have been saying. I can picture Matthew saying, you know, I don't remember hearing about this in my studies, people walking across the water. I can think of John and James saying, Peter, you fool, be quiet. Why do you keep opening your mouth? But he did it. He took that step of faith in the strength of Christ. And today in your lives, when you're willing to take a step of faith through the strength of Christ to show the world that he is God, you'll also hear voices. I think of Christopher Columbus. I read part of his journal a few weeks ago. And he was on his path to reach new land. And the whole crew was sick. They were tired. They didn't want to go on anymore. And they said, Christopher, If it goes on like this one more day, we're going to throw you overboard. Because they just couldn't handle it anymore. They thought that he was leading them to their death. And that night, Christopher wrote in his journal, and we kept sailing. And today, I want to ask you, are you willing to go through with the perseverance of Christ as we show the world of his goodness, of his grace? Today, be courageous. Give it all to him. And take a step of faith. I want to encourage you with one final story. I was with my father-in-law last summer. And he had got done preaching. And some woman came up to him afterwards and said, you know, Brother Thomas, it was a Baptist church, so they always say brother. He says, Brother Thomas, are Christians allowed, should Christians smoke? And you know, that's a good question. That's a fair question to ask. So he thought for a bit, and he said, you know, if I've understood this book correctly, if I understood the words in this holy Bible correctly, then I believe that Jesus isn't necessarily interested in you smoking for him, but he wants you to burn for him. And that's my invitation to you today. Are you willing to take a step of faith in the strength of Christ? Are you willing to make the commitment to devote your life to showing the world, to reaching the world with this incredible gospel that we did nothing to receive, so that every tribe, every tongue may hear of this incredible God that we have the privilege of serving. I know for my life, I can say with complete confidence, I will invest my life so that every person in the world may hear of His incredible love. And I pray and I hope that you will make the same decision. We only have one life. We only have one thing that we can invest our lives into. What's it going to be? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your Spirit. I thank you that you're speaking to us right now. And Father, I just want to proclaim that you may be made more as we may be made less. I pray, Father, that you would give us the strength to make difficult decisions in our lives, that you would give us the perseverance we need as we're walking through trials, as we're living in obedience to you. I pray, Father, for people today who are on the fence of wondering if they really should take that step of faith to trust in you, that they would just put their feet out onto the water and to walk with you in your grace, in your love. God, we cannot do it alone. We love you so much. In your name I pray. Amen.